We're continuing our series, Why Am I Here? You know, that's a question that I think pops up from every generation, every Christian, every person. And I think you may have asked that question more than once. Anybody besides me have asked the question, God, why am I here, more than one time? All right, I see your hands. Thank you for those of you that are faithful. Apparently, it doesn't even, I've seen somebody younger than 15 raising their hand. So we're even asking that question earlier and earlier in our lives. I love it because when you find out, this is it. I want you to hear it. I love that you're one of our youngest people in here in this morning, but I want our young people to figure this out, because if you can figure this out early in life, you can hold on to it for eternity. So this morning, I've titled this My Committed Call. Not like committed to a home. I'm going to commit you. Anybody was threatened, my family would be like, we'll commit you. Or you like my parents, we brought you into the world. We can take you out of this world. My sister Monda used to tell me to scare me at night. She would be like, we used to have an older brother. And I'd be like, used to? What happened? Well, daddy got mad at him one time, and we don't talk about it anymore. I'm like, we don't talk? What don't we talk about? I'd be like, no, I can't tell you. We just don't talk about it anymore. Daddy, I can't talk about it. And so I would be like, oh my goodness. I knew he was rougher on me than them, but Jesus, he's already took one of us out. That is a real threat in this household. And so in all of this, I'm not talking about being committed like that, but what you're committed to. Can I tell you something? We all have a calling. You are all called to preach the gospel. You're all called to be evangelists. Do the work of an evangelist. You're all called to minister, even though it may not be your vocation. Hello. It may not be your full-time job. Can I tell you something? Most of the people in the Bible that did amazing things were not full-time priests. Hello. They were not full-time rabbis. They were not full-time. Oh, let's just, I want to discuss so many things, but I'm not going to jump ahead of myself, because I want to just deal with this issue. But there are some things that you find yourself committed to, that you're drawn toward, that's part of your calling in life. And when you find that, you get into it. Now, you may work at Burger King. You may own your own business. You may work at Walmart or Target. You may work at all that. You may be a full-time student right now, and that's what you're doing, but you have a committed call. You have a call on your life that God has placed there for you to fulfill and do and minister. And so that does not go away. Did you find Ephesians? Ephesians 4, and we're going to, if we look around in this place, we have a lot of families, we have a lot of friends, and we are connected to so many people in this city and in this state. And if you just look around, I'm going to tell you something, all your friends, your family, your coworkers, I am not going to be able to reach them all. Some of them won't even listen to me. Some of them don't even want to see me. Some of them don't even want to step foot in a church. And some of them even feel that, I had a friend one time that said, if I came to church, the roof would fall down and kill me. Have you ever had somebody say that to you? That if I walked in, the moment I walked in, lightning would strike, or the roof would fall, a panel, a light, something, God's going to get me. And that can be the mentality of a lot of people. But you have access to them. And can I tell you this? The God on the inside of you has access to them simply because you have access to them. So if you're waiting for your pastor to go and get the world saved, you're going to, if you're holding your breath, you're going to pass out, because that is not going to happen. Actually, one of my greatest jobs, you know, we find it in the Bible, if you love me, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Now, I think differently, but I almost think, like, in my mind, I know this did not happen. Have you ever had something you picture and you know it didn't happen, but you like to think about it anyway? I like to think about it anyway. If you love me, I like to see Jesus, like, singing. If you love me. No, nobody else. Okay, I will be. If you love me, Peter, if you love me. Have you ever seen James Brown where he puts the cape on and he throws it off? I know Jesus didn't do that, but it would make me... All right, let's get out of my mind and back into the Word. If you love me, Peter, if you love me, well, yes, I love you. Well, then feed my sheep. Get the Word. Get the Word to my people. So one of my callings, and then it even elaborates later on in the word, that one of the pastor's jobs is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. See, the church has had it wrong for too long. The church has been waiting for the pastor to do all the work, to go to all the hospitals, to go to all the homes, to speak at all the life groups. You can ask my life group leaders. I'll go right over here to one that the last one I visited that was not mine. When I showed up, did I not tell you in advance, if you're looking for me to speak, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to open my mouth. That's hard work for me. That takes work. I have to constantly, because I want to say something. Because let me tell you something. I serve a great and a living God. And when I hear other people talk about God, it gets me excited. And I want to join in the conversation. When you testify, I want to testify. Why? Because it's on the inside of me. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, not loving our own lives even unto death. That is where the power comes from. And so when we hear somebody testify, your spirit ought to jump up on the inside and celebrate with other people. So sometimes it takes effort to keep your mouth shut. And so when I go to a life group, I tell in advance, if you're looking for me to run this, you're wrong. If you ask me to say something, I'm going to look at you and just go, no. It even happened. Pastor, you have anything you want to say? I go, nope. And we moved right on. It's because what I'm doing, one of my jobs is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And so when I go to a life group, I want you to do the work of the ministry. That is a safe place to work, to be able to testify, to share your testimony, and to tell others about God and what he has done for you, your own brothers and sisters. And so when you get comfortable doing it there, you should be able to do it out of there as well. But one of my jobs is not to save the world, it's to get you ready to save the world. It's to get you ready to stand in your place. And you know, and I had somebody tell me this, I mentioned it last week, and they mentioned it to me as a joke. They were messing with me, they were ribbing. Not everybody can do this. I just want to be very clear, not everybody can do this. It's only I have a circle of people who I don't know how to put it, I'm just relaxed with and talk with. And there's even some people in my life that don't even come here, that I allow even greater access to my life, that they can speak to me in a manner that if you heard them on the outside would be absolutely rude. But I know them, I love them, and I gave them that access. I would just recommend you don't give that access to everybody. Mm-hmm. I don't even care. Be like, I am a Christian and I have a word for you, brother. I have a word. And they may give you an absolute dead-on word. That doesn't mean that you allow them in your life to speak anything they want. I'm very, very cautious in who I allow to speak into my life. Not everybody can handle all of this and the way this up here works. Some people, they get a glimpse and they get scared. You see fear hit them for a second and then they move on. But then in all of this, I remember even Jessie, I remember the first time that I said something, I looked right at her and a smile came on her face because we locked eyes and she's like, ha, I know what you're thinking. And then she goes, whew. No, oh God, I'm starting to think like him. I'm starting to understand him. It's a scary thing to understand me, and not many people can handle that, and that's okay. I don't want many people to handle that. I only want one or two to be able to handle that, and so don't let everybody into your life. If a word comes from God, I heard this, I'm trying to think, it was Bill Johnson, who made the statement that somebody came to him with a prophecy, and he said, this person's crazy. Now, he probably didn't say it exactly like that, but pretty close. This person was a nut. This person was crazy and annoying, very annoying. But the word was from God. And he said, I had to come to a point where God basically just spoke on the inside of me. Will you accept this word? It's from me. Will you accept it? Because it came out of a vessel that you don't respect. And he started thinking, am I going to have to go dip in the Jordan? Am I going to have to, does the word basically what he meant? Can I only accept words from God when I know and trust the person who delivers them? Or can I take it from a crackpot? I'm not pointing at you on purpose. Sorry that you were just right in my line of sight when I said it. I don't know what your wife thinks about that, but I won't even question her. But I did know she laughed. So in all of this, can we take a word from God, but it doesn't mean we open our life up just because somebody, can I tell you something? I know people in my life, they don't go to church here, okay? So I don't want you looking around being like, oh, I know who it was. I know. No, you don't. But there was somebody who annoyed me so bad. They annoyed me. I know y'all are super spiritual. You don't have anybody. They're like, I am dead to this world. No one annoys me. I know. Your pastor, I'm still working on myself. But this person bothered me so bad. And it was really the tactics of the person. Their tactics were wrong. I could tell that when they talked to me, they were trained in sales. And so they would try to get me to do what they wanted the way they phrased their sentences. And then they would give me, I'd be like, yeah, I'm not going to give you options or examples of this, but they would give me like, hey, let's do this ministry. And then they would phrase it, and both of the questions were the same things, just said different ways. Which one would you like to do, this or this? And I'm like, is there a difference? Well, yes, didn't you hear me? No, there's not. It's the same thing. And I'll give you an example of this. I guess I will give an example. There was one time I told this person no to a ministry. It was a great ministry. Nothing wrong with the ministry. Would have loved to have done it. But we weren't at a place where we could, and that we couldn't do it well. And if we can't do something well, let's find somebody who is doing it well and give to them. And can I tell you this? We have given to Christians and non-Christian organizations that are doing something well. When Haiti went down, we gave to, I found an organization that was giving out grills so these people could cook their food. We bought 250 grills to give. 250. And I called the organization and just talked to them about it. And they said, well, you know, we never even thought. They said, later they called me back and they said, we never even thought about churches giving into this. They're a secular organization. They were a secular business. And they basically said, we didn't even consider nonprofits because he just basically said, none of us go to church. And I said, well, we can fix that. right over this phone. So in this, he said, you opened up a whole door. We started calling churches, telling them what we were doing, and now we have another, he says, we're right now at over 1,000 and something grills we're about to send to Haiti, and we're going to just swamp them. He said, our goal is to give everyone two. He said, because if you don't give enough, then they go on the black market, people die for them, they're stolen, so you just have to flood the market with whatever you got when it's an emergency, so there's an abundance, and if there's an overabundance, then they're not worth anything, because you can get them everywhere. And he said, because you gave to us, it gave us the idea to reach out to churches. Can I tell you something? Somebody's doing something good. They don't have to have a fish on their business for me to support them. If they're doing what is good, we're going to get behind it, Christian or non-Christian. Salvation Army, off as a Christian organization. And I think the majority of them still stand behind that, but some sectors don't anymore. But they do great things. They go in and help people. And we want to be a blessing to those that are doing something well that we're not doing at the time. So this person basically said, Pastor, let's do this. And I said, no, we're just not at a place where we can. And this was said privately. And so publicly, they were talking to some people in the church and said, wouldn't this be great if we did this? And they turned to me and said, Pastor, wouldn't it be great if we did this? And I just looked, this was my thought process. Well, they're bold enough to ask me in public after I told them no privately, so I guess I need to be bold enough to respond. No, we're not going to do that. Just like the first time I told you, and just because there's people around, that's not going to change my answer. It is a great ministry. Would love to be able to do it, but we're not at the place like the first time I told you, so no. And then I moved right on. And so there's people, and the whole reason I bring this up is because that person irritated me unbelievably. But every once in a while, they'd come to me with a word that was dead on. And I'm like, that, and in the beginning, it confused me. I'm like, okay, God, what am I missing here? How can somebody that is just annoying the mess out of me, that I believe are using tactics that are not good and not of you, but yet they come to me with a word? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to take this? This messes me up a little bit. But the beauty of it is, even if we're not perfect vessels, God can still use us. And would I reject the word because of the person, or judge the word and say, this is of the Lord? And so let us, and look, that person, There may be people in your life that give you a word from God that you never give access to your life to. You don't open up. They're not a part of your circle. They're not a part. They may have even said mean and hateful things to you, but they can give a word to you. I know from my home church that I came from, that none of you know any of them, so I can talk about them freely. They would give you a word, but they'd cut you to the core. They'd be mean, but they'd give a word to you, and it would be straight from God. It would be straight from God. So how do we handle that? How do you handle that? We recognize that we work with people. Hello? And that we do not fight against flesh and blood. You're seeing them, that glimpse, you're seeing them for what they're created to be. You're seeing from them what they're called to be. You're seeing them in their true nature. And then they may have some issues that they're dealing with. First of all, it doesn't mean that they don't know the Lord. They're just not operating the Lord in this area of their life. Just like us, we may have some things. I look back now, even 15 years ago, I look at my life and think, oh my God, how far have I come? And even talking to my wife this week, I said, Jesse, I think of this message. It still brings tears to my eyes about transformation, transforming our life into the image of Jesus Christ. It still brings tears to my eyes. How long have I been listening to this message? How long have I been trying to, you know, transform into the image of His Son, our Jesus? How long have we been into this? And it still moves me with conviction. It's still operating in my life. And how thankful. And it's not condemnation. Oh, because there's so many people, you might hear a message about transforming and look at your life and feel condemned. That is not from God. God only corrects those that He loves. And He wants to get you out of the mess that you're in, that cycle that you have been going through over and over. Every town that you ran to, every city that you moved from, you find it in the next city. You find it in the next place. Why? Because it's part of you. You're bringing it with you. And for you to get free of that, you have got to change. You have got to change. Oh. And man, I be a change.